Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much, and good morning. Those of us who are committed to preaching the whole counsel of God are deeply disturbed when we hear false prophets speaking on television or on radio or when we read the books they publish. We are concerned because we know millions and millions of people are listening and being led astray into soul-condemning error. It does not matter that some of the false teachers appear to be sincere and are deeply committed to their beliefs. Sincerity is not a test of truth. Paul tells us of his honesty and deep convictions during the time he was persecuting the church and wasting it. He said to King Agrippa, "I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ." Acts 26:9. The same apostle explained his former beliefs and practices to the Jewish council. "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience until this day." Acts 23:1. Did Paul's clear conscience and deep conviction excuse him from the great harm he had done to the cause of Christ? No one likes to spend time investigating false prophets and speaking out against them. We would prefer to tell of the grace of God, which brought His Son into the world to die for our sins. But no preacher can be true to his calling if he does not oppose and expose false prophets. If we are as concerned about the souls of men and women as we profess to be, we are going to remove any hindrance to their confessing faith in Christ and obeying the saving gospel of Christ. We know that only the true gospel will save. Therefore, we must speak out against false gospels. Was that not Peter's reason for writing? "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." 2 Peter 2:1-2. Did you notice in my reading of that passage the term "false prophets among the people"? The expression "the people" was used by inspired writers to mean the Jewish people, the people of the Old Covenant. Was God indeed concerned about false prophets among the Israelites? If you have read the historical and prophetic books of the Old Testament, you know the answer to that question. 1 Kings 22 tells of Ahab's desire to declare war on Syria and take the city of Ramoth-Gilead, which had previously been captured by Ben-Hadad of Syria. Ahab gathered 400 court prophets and asked them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." 1 Kings 22:6. Those 400 prophets were all liars. They had no word from the Lord, and yet they pretended to speak for the Lord. Micaiah, a true prophet of God, said to Ahab, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as a sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace.'" 1 Kings 22:17. Ahab not only lost the battle to recapture Ramoth-Gilead, he also lost his life, just as Micaiah predicted. Do you understand from this Old Testament incident the troubles caused by false prophets? Perhaps no Old Testament prophet was more concerned about the existence of false prophets and the great damage they do than Jeremiah. Over and over, he warned the Israelite people about the danger of listening to and following the words of the false prophets. A few brief excerpts from this Old Testament prophet should be helpful. "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Jeremiah 5, 30 and 31. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, You shall not have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spoke unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, says the Lord, concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, I sent them not, yet they say, Sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall these prophets be consumed. Jeremiah 14, 13 through 15. But the people who listen to the prophets will not have to suffer for the sins of the prophets. Or will they? Please listen carefully. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters. For I will pour their wickedness upon them. Jeremiah 14, 16. False prophets will be condemned for lying and deceiving. Those who listen to the prophets will share in their punishment. This should be very disconcerting to those who refuse to examine the Scriptures to ascertain if a man who claims to speak for God is actually speaking for God. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunk man, and like a man whom wine has overcome, because of the Lord, and because of the words of His holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, says the Lord. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, says the Lord. And I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Jeremiah 23, 9 through 14. One more passage from Jeremiah will have to suffice for today. I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Yet they are prophets of the deceit of their heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Jeremiah 23, 25 through 27. The prophet Ezekiel spoke for the Lord when he said, My hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity, and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God, because they have seduced my people, saying, Peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Ezekiel 13, 9 and 10. Can there be any doubt in your mind as to the punishment God has designed both for the false prophet and for those who are deceived and led astray by the false prophets? All of this says very plainly, we cannot be too careful when we listen to men preach. We must remember these words from the Apostle John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. The prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel have already provided us with some standards by which we can judge false prophets. A man is a false prophet when he fails to speak the words God has given him. When God told the prophets to predict disasters which would come on the Jewish people, if they failed to do that, they were false prophets. They were false prophets when they engaged in adultery, lying, and other abominable practices, even though they might have been preaching the truth while engaging in adultery and lying about it. Men are false prophets when they claim to have received messages from the Lord, but have not. The prophets of Jeremiah's day were saying, "I have dreamed, I have dreamed." They were lying, knew they were lying, and were using their lies to manipulate their hearers. Does any of that sound like what you see or hear on television or read in popular books by charismatic preachers? For example, the founder of the Promise Keepers organization, Bill McCartney, says in his book, From Ashes to Glory, "Dr. Dave Wardell and I felt that God put these visions in our hearts," that is, the visions about the Promise Keepers, "and that we should work to keep them alive." Page 286. Bill McCartney's latest book, Sold Out, tells of sensing the Lord's presence in a room. He then says, "In a calming whisper to my spirit, he spoke." There are times in the Christian's life when the Lord clearly speaks, now one way, now another. He made his will known. "Do not fear, for I will go before you. This battle belongs to me." Pages 134 and 135. I am sure Bill McCartney does not intend to mislead anyone, but he is simply mistaken about having heard from the Lord. The Lord's will is revealed in the Scriptures, and in the Scriptures alone. Is that not what Peter meant when he wrote, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power has he given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue." 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3. If all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to us in the Word, why does Bill McCartney or any other person claim to get special messages from the Lord? When a person pretends to receive a word from the Lord and does not, is he not a false prophet? Deuteronomy 18 must be carefully examined if one wants to comprehend God's arrangements for the prophets to speak to his people. God warned the Israelites to avoid the heathen sources of information, such as witches, mediums or channelers, astrologers, enchanters, psychics and necromancers, that is, people who claim to be in touch with the dead. God informed the Jews that those who engage in such practices are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God does not drive them out from before you. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. Moses then told the Jews, "The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken, according to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I do not die. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken." Now please listen carefully to the Lord's promise to his servant Moses. "I will raise up unto them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Deuteronomy 18:15 through 19. Obviously, there were always men in Old Testament times, as there are today, who claimed to speak for the Lord. They pretended to have dreams or visions and bound them on the Israelite people as if they came from God. God warned his people, "But if the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." Deuteronomy 18:20. No man today has the gift of prophecy, regardless of their pretensions to the contrary. But preachers and teachers of the Word must pay close attention to the Lord's words in this verse. We must speak only as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11. If men claim to be receiving direct revelation, they are deceiving their hearers. Both false prophets and their followers are in deep trouble with God Almighty. God knew the Israelites would be concerned about judging prophets to decide if they were true or false. So he said to them, "If you shall say in your heart, 'How shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?'" Deuteronomy 18:21. The Lord himself provides the answer to that question. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Deuteronomy 18:22. There simply is no possibility of misunderstanding what God told his people. If a man predicts an event, and the event does not happen, he is a false prophet. He cannot explain away the predictions he missed. For example, Edgar Wisnant wrote a book with the title, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is in 1988. Wisnant claimed to base his predictions on the Word of God. He very boldly and foolishly wrote, "Only if the Bible is in error am I wrong. And I say that unequivocally. There is no way biblically that I could be wrong. And I say that to every preacher in town." Wisnant then had the audacity to say that he had missed the prediction by 1 year. I wonder if Edgar Wisnant ever read what God said to Moses about a prophet's making predictions which never come to pass. In case you may think Edgar Wisnant was the only modern false prophet, let me give you some other examples of failed prophecies. Did you know that Judge J.F. Rutherford, second president of Jehovah's Witnesses, in 1920 wrote a book with the title, "Millions Now Living Will Never Die"? I'm fully aware that many modern Jehovah's Witnesses deny that Rutherford ever wrote such a book, but I happen to have one of them. Rutherford predicted that the present generation will see a new order of behavior. It will take place within the time of the present generation, and that therefore there are millions of people now living on earth who will see them take place. Page 12. Other Jehovah's Witnesses leaders predicted the end of the age would occur in 1914, 1915, 1918, 1923, 1925, and 1975. What does making a false prediction make the one who does the predicting? Herbert Armstrong, founder of the Worldwide Church of God, thought of himself as the long-awaited Messiah. Unlike the true Messiah, who said he knew neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man would return, Matthew 24:36. Armstrong said our Lord would return in 1936, then 1943, then 1972, and finally 1975. Does it ever occur to these false prophets to apologize for their false predictions? Why do they not say, "I am sorry to mislead so many people. I ignored what Jesus and the apostles said about the Lord's coming as a thief in the night. I promise I will never again make a prediction about the time of the Lord's second coming"? Fundamentalist author Reginald Dunlop said the final shout would be heard in 1989. Mary Stuart Relfe, a popular writer and preacher, believed that World War III would occur and the present age would sing its swan song. Like Reginald Dunlop, Mary Relfe said Jesus would return in 1989. Howard Camping, a fundamentalist preacher, set the month and the year for Christ's second coming, September 1994. So far, he has missed it by 4 years. Jack Van Impe believes that Jesus will come back in September 1999. He says that absolutely will be the last year. The list of predictions relating to Christ's return could be extended almost without end. But I want to mention one more popular false prophet, Hal Lindsey. How can we know he is a false prophet? God gave the answer, which I read to you a few minutes ago. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Deuteronomy 18:22. But has Hal Lindsey actually given a time when Christ will return? So far as I have been able to discover in his many books, he has not given an exact month or day or year. But who can doubt the meaning of statements which appear throughout his books? If you were to encounter a book with the title, Hope for the Terminal Generation, how would you interpret the term, the terminal generation? What is the meaning of the word terminal? If the doctor tells you or your loved ones, the condition is terminal, what would you think the doctor meant? Lindsey writes, we see prophetic signs of the pattern of history which precede the second coming. And since we know that the rapture occurs before that, we must conclude that it is most definitely the general time of the rapture. Page 178. Must we indeed conclude that, in view of what Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse? But of that day and that hour, no man knows. Matthew 24:36. The no man of this verse includes Hal Lindsey, John Hagee, Jack Van Impe, and other so-called prophecy teachers. In another of Lindsey's books, The Road to the Holocaust, he says unequivocally, the rapture cannot be far off. Page 282. The Bible furnishes a great amount of information about false prophets. It gives us specific insights into how to determine when a man is a false prophet. It also provides us with some understanding of the motivations of false prophets. Oddly enough, some false prophets, but by no means all, use their position and power to seduce women into sexual relationships, just as some political leaders have done through the ages. 2 Peter 2 is devoted to exposing false teachers in our world. Peter writes concerning some of these false teachers. They have eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. 2 Peter 2:14. The King James Version says, having eyes full of adultery. But the Greek says, having eyes full of an adulteress. There have always been false teachers who prey on women. They take advantage of their position to engage in sexual promiscuity. No religious group, incidentally, is free from such predators. Most false teachers would not be guilty of sexual misconduct, not necessarily because it is wrong, but they know it would destroy their opportunities for gaining wealth and power in their religious organizations. Most churches, even very liberal ones, could not afford to have sexually promiscuous men within their fellowship. But they might not be so hard on men who cared primarily for making an easy living by preaching. Am I saying there are men and women in churches across our land whose primary goal is to be paid well for their services? I have no doubt that all of us have known such people. But I want to look briefly at what the Bible says. The Old Testament prophet Micah, Isaiah's younger contemporary, scathingly attacked the prophets who led God's people into error. He accused them of building up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. He then wrote, "The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? No evil can come upon us." Micah 3:10-11. Were the prophets in Ahab's court motivated by money? Were they, like Esau, willing to sell their souls for a mess of pottage? Peter expressed great concern about the false teachers who would preach whatever the most money demanded. He said concerning those men, "Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not." 2 Peter 2:3. Later in the same chapter, Peter accused the false prophets of having forsaken the right way and having gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. 2 Peter 2:15. Jude may have had the same teachers in mind when he wrote, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished after the gainsaying of Korah." Jude 11. Hal Lindsey has written a number of bestsellers. Am I saying to you that Hal Lindsey is motivated primarily by greed? My friends, I am not saying that. I do not know what motivates these men who make false predictions concerning the end of the world or who teach false doctrines in general. We are not given the prerogative of judging men's motives. That responsibility belongs to God alone. But on this one thing we can be sure. God demands that His children judge the fruit of all preachers and teachers. "Beware," Jesus said, "of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruit." Matthew 5:15-16. False prophets will unquestionably be condemned in the day of judgment. But what about those who follow those false teachers? My friends, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31. Thank you for listening, and may God continue to bless you.